Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Romance at a Glance. I'm your host, Bridget, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Shawnee. Hi, Shawnee.
Hi, Bridget. How you doing, girl? You look good today.
Thank you. I am doing just fine. I am excited to dip into Romancing Mr. Bridgerton by Julia Quinn.
I am too. You know, I love historicals. And honestly, this is like one of the first books this series is one of the first series I read when I was, you know, just a young, sprightly little thing, in high school. So yeah. I'm excited to reread it and to get back into the world.
Yeah, and for those of you who are just joining us on Romance at a Glance, welcome to the pack. For the OGs, you know that we originally covered The Duke and I in our first historical season when Shawnee inducted me into the historical realm with 10 of her favorite historical romances. And we also did a little review of season 2 of the TV show on Netflix, as well as getting the distinct pleasure of interviewing Julia Quinn on the podcast a couple years ago. So we have been around the Bridgertons for a few years now, Shawnee. It's been quite a time.
It has been definitely a time. Getting to interview Julia Quinn, all-time high. All-time top life high.
Shawnee was losing it. She was like jumping around my house. It was so funny.
I'll never give birth to a child. So that's it. I got to be Julia Quinn. That's what it's going to be. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited to get into this. I'm very excited for this new season of Bridgertons. Honestly, for me, I want it to be better than last season. but I'm very much into this. And I needed this historical in my life. I needed something to bring me back home. So
Originally, when I read the books, when we read the first book, of course, obviously I couldn't stop at the first one because I have problems. So I read the second book and I read Eloise's book, which is the third book. So even though, for those of you who don't know, this will be the third season, this is the fourth book in the series. And I don't know that I read this one because I thought I had, and this would be a reread. But when I read it, I was like, there's so many things I don't remember, but I do feel like I remember the plot kind of. So it was kind of an interesting thing. And then after this, I was in a real big audiobook kick because I listened to this on audiobook because I had so much outdoor chores to do. And so I was like, I'm just going to audiobook it. And then I listened to Francesca's book and Gregory's book too.
I did. Okay.
I did. And Shawnee, you would be proud of me because I did not listen to them at 2.5 like you, because that was too fast. But I did listen at 1.75, which I feel pretty good about.
First of all, I am proud of you because that's pretty fast for, the regular folk. Yeah. And one of the funniest things the other day, I was actually hanging out with a new friend, and also she is one of our patrons and listeners. Hey, Erin. We were hanging out, and I was listening to a YouTube video to get some information, and I had it going super fast, and I actually thought she was listening too. And then I paused it at a certain point, and she was like, "Yeah, so I have no." That just sounds like chipmunks to me.
It does. I have found, because I did listen to a different book too, that's also historical, and I found that author was harder for me to follow at a faster speed. I think it was because this author ends everything on a down note, the way that I speak, and so it was easy for me to follow that patterning, even though she was speaking in an act like it had an English accent. Yeah. Whether it was her own or not, I don't know, but she had an English accent for the book. But the second one I listened to, she finished all the sentences kind of on an up note. And I found that was very hard for my brain to figure out where the sentences ended at fast speeds. So that one I had to slow down to 1.4 because it was too, it wasn't that I couldn't understand her accent. It was it was just the way she read, I had trouble with. So that was kind of interesting. And then I read one, or I listened to one, read one, listened to one. And they had it was supposed to be the late 1880s to 1910s is kind of the span of the book. Yeah. And they were American heiresses who went over to England, and she had kind of a transatlantic accent. And that I found very funny and hard to follow because it was just harder for me to let go because her accent was just it just amused me because it was it was just a funnier accent than just a traditional British. Anyways, we are going to get into this book. I was very excited that I finally found some audiobooks that I can listen to. And I've discovered that it's because they're not speaking in an American accent. So it's easier for my brain to not be annoyed by the voice.
So before we get into it, I'm just going to confirm what you're saying. The rhythm of somebody speaking also determines how fast I can listen and like comprehend the book. So okay. That's like a very real thing. Okay. So yeah. Anyway, that's it. All right, Bridget.
Let's get this shit poppin'.
Romance at a glance.
Uh-huh.
Romance at a glance.
What you saying?
Romance at a glance.
Go ahead, girl.
As I said, we are reviewing Romancing Mr. Bridgerton, which is book number 4 in the Bridgerton series by Julia Quinn. This book follows Colin Bridgerton, who's actually the 3rd Bridgerton child because they all go in alphabetical order. And he ends up with RMC Penelope Featherington, who, if you've read the series, you know as Eloise's best friend, who is sort of been pining for him for the last 3 books. I would like to start out by saying that this is my least favorite of the series.
I want to agree with you on that.
Here's why.
Tell me, Bridget,
let me tell you, Shawnee, as I said in the intro, I do think I maybe read this book, but I think I didn't like it. So you know how I like to just control alt delete shit from my mind. And I have a really powerful ability to just like forget on purpose shit that I don't want to deal with in novels and TV shows and movies. Like, I just will be like, well, that never happened because I refuse to let it be. That's just how I am. I remember, first of all, I love Eloise's book, which is the book before this one. And I liked the first 2. And this book for me, you find out, I mean, like, spoiler, I guess, if you've never read this book, but like, or watched the show, but Penelope is Lady Whistledown. So I think that in the show, I didn't think it was as big of a plot twist because they revealed it earlier. But in the books, like, it's book 4 and you still didn't know who was Lady Whistledown. So it was like a big shock in the books when it comes up in this book. And I loved Penelope's character, that her internal dialogue about having this secret, having this life's work, and that she's proud of herself and proud of her writing. And like, she's amassed a fortune on her own, that like, even though her mom and her sisters force her to dress in yellow and force her to like, like, they're ridiculous. And so it sort of makes her ridiculous by association, that she has this inner secret, like, sense of self and fortitude that I really enjoyed. Like, she was a 5-star. Well, maybe 4, because she lost a star, because I feel like she should have made him grovel aggressively. But maybe unromantically, she's 5 stars, and then romantically, 4 stars. And I liked his character in the last 3 books, where he's like the kindest brother. He's the one who's like working with the other brothers and like calling them on their sort of high and mighty shit. And he's, you know, he's like the charming, lovable one.
Yeah.
And I thought it was fine that he didn't view her as a romantic partner the last 2 books, because I think that's real life. When someone is your younger sibling's friend, and they are years younger than you, and you are like on purpose trying not to get married, then you will not look at anyone who is a potential marriageable person. It's not like now where you'd like, oh yeah, I'm gonna like fuck around with my little sister's best friend. No, because he would have had to marry her. If he kissed her on like the lips, that's a marriage. That makes sense for me, and I was fine with that.
Yeah.
And I liked the way they developed, or she developed, the romance of him like slowly realizing like, oh, I see her. Oh, like, I notice her. Oh, I notice that. Wait, why doesn't anyone else notice that she's beautiful? And like, I didn't either. I was a dummy. Like, that I think all worked. But when he finds out that she's Lady Whistledown, unacceptable. Unacceptable, Shawnee.
Listen, I'm 100% with you. You're preaching to the choir. This is why, this is kind of like, where, like, don't be your heroes, but also like, don't reread the books that you loved when you were young. Because now, like, Colin went from being the nice guy to the nice guy. Like, You know how the nice guy is never really
he's
nice?
He's a petty little bitch is what he is.
He's a little punk ass bitch.
He's a punk ass bitch. Yeah.
That's what happened to Colin. Like when from the minute he found out she was Lady Whistledown, I hated almost every interaction that they were having about it.
100%.
And I hated that like viscerally, you know, I think one of my own sticking points as a human is that I always say people only hear me when I yell. Like I could say your house is on fire. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, oh, that's cute. You know, like, and I'll be like, no, your house is going to burn down. And they'll be like, oh, that's, you know, and I literally have to get hysterical for people to be like, oh my gosh, Shawnee, you're serious about what you're saying. You know, and when she's telling him like, no, this is my life's work, this is whatever, and he is not hearing her, like I physically felt like I was choking on 100%. Words for her, 100%. You know, and I hated that feeling. I wanted to stop the book because I was like, I can't, I'm too over this shit.
And like, I loved that she even was like, oh, well, like, cause I think she's such a great character because she even said, I have to take ownership of the fact that I put him on a perfect pedestal, that he could do no wrong, that he was 100% everything that I would ever want. I have to recognize that he's a person. He has good things and bad things. And like, she almost was like, I'm not going to let my heart get broken by the way he's acting because I was in love with a not real person. I was in love with the idea of him, not who he is. Mm-hmm. But I thought it took way too long. Like, I would have been fine if his initial reaction was panic and fear. I like you. You're Eloise's best friend. I've known you my whole life. I'm falling in love with you. And I am afraid that you will get cast out of society, that someone will find out. Like, I would have been fine if the panic of it was initial and visceral. And like, you have to stop. You cannot tell anyone. My word is final. Cause you know, he's a dude of that time. Like that's a very normal reaction. I feel like that he's like laying down the law and expecting her to follow it. Yeah. And then she's like, no, I'm going to do me. Sorry. Yeah. I think that it went on too long and he made her feel so bad about her own like accomplishments.
Yeah.
And he, like you said, was not listening to her. Like, she was like, I don't care. Like, I have so much money. Like, I don't need to be in society. It's not a big deal. Like, it's cool, like, bro.
Even from the moment where she hid the letter and he took it and read it.
Yeah.
Like, that. Like, I just hated that that's how he found out. I hated that that was such an invasion to me of her privacy that it was hard for me to really get into him as her partner after that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? I wish that she had told him. I wish that it was like a thing where he was holding
the
letter.
She confided in him.
And she confided in him.
Yeah.
And not that he had read her personal thing right there in front of her, you know, whatever. He's not her husband. He's not anything to her at that point, you know? And it felt like such a gross overstep. Yeah. Like, you know?
And like the one thing that made up for it is when he goes to, or like when he goes to tea or whatever with her family and the mom is trying to foist like the younger sister. And he was like, what is wrong with you? I came here with Penelope. Penelope is sitting next to me. I have told you that I would like her to stay and the other one should just go. I'm holding her hand. Why are you like, I liked that he like after that, he finally realized like, oh, her family doesn't see her and like understand her. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, no, what are you talking about? I don't care about her, that girl at all. I want Penelope. But, and like, I thought his grand gesture at the end where he told everyone, you know, she's pulled the wool out from under you this whole time. Like, how great is she? I'm in love with her, blah, blah, blah. I thought that was obviously a nice scene, but it came so late that there was too much time for him to be treating her accomplishments because he was jealous of them as shameful and as a problem to be managed, and not like he never celebrates aside from in publicly. He never like celebrates her accomplishment. Mm-hmm. He never like sits by the fire with her and is like, how did you do it? Like, how did you like orchestrate this thing for so long? Like, how did you do all of this?
Yeah.
How'd you learn to write? How'd you like, he never, like, she's so supportive of his writing from the moment she sees his journal. She's like, you should do this. Like, this is great. I love, like, I can help you. I can. And he's like, I don't want you to read my stuff. It's not the same. And like makes her feel like her right. And it's like, bro, like,
bro,
you need to take several steps back. Okay. Okay. She's made more than 10,000 pounds and you've done nothing. Okay. You're a rich boy. You need to pipe down. Okay.
Yeah, I have several seats.
Yeah. Have several, several seats. And so we're going to, dear listeners, we're going to watch the show and then sort of compare like how they changed the show and the book and how they sort of evolved their plot. And watching the trailer for season 3, I'm actually glad because it's nothing like this book. Like in the trailer for season 3, he is basically like, I'll help you find a husband. And he is, and so she finds someone else and is like having this sort of flirtation with this other person. And then Colin is like slowly realizing that he's actually in love with her. So I think they're kind of taking that, his slow realization that he's into her. They're taking that from the book. But I don't know how they're going to fold in him finding out that she's Whistledown. Because Eloise already knows and she doesn't know in the books. So it's going to be an interesting... It's going to be interesting because I feel like, or my fingers are crossed that he is going to be significantly better in the show than he is in this book, because I will be very unhappy if he is constantly like, meh, 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 in the show.
So I'm 100% with you on this. Like, this book was boring, like super, super boring for me. Like, and I, you know, going into it, I'm like, yay, my Bridgertons, give me, right. And then I was just like, nothing happens in this book, really. And then there's like things that are just like not as exciting as they are. And there's another part that really irks me. Like, I hate this one part of this book, but let me go back a little for a second. So for instance, I honestly still don't feel like they had enough to fall in love. Even throughout the books, their interactions, whatever, there was not enough substance to me to fall in love. So to your point, I wish that he had been interested in what she was saying and been like, oh, how clever she is, and fallen really in love with how clever she was, you know, versus like, oh, I'm just slowly realizing that I love her. Like, I don't know. It wasn't enough for me for that to be plausible. The like love scenes and stuff like that, it was like, ah, whatever. Okay. But the thing that really, it fucking got me. Like, I remember I stopped the book at the end of the book where Cressida, comes and is like, I know your Lady Whistledown, I never forget an insult, right? That insult is a literal thing that it's so basic that she's like, your Lady Whistledown, because you said this phrase that everyone says.
I know, right? It wasn't clever, it wasn't in, like, it wasn't something that was uniquely Lady Whistledown.
Exactly. So it was like one of those things where, you know how I say sometimes the author makes me feel like I'm stupid, right? That was like one of those moments where I was like,
I don't know anything about that time period. Maybe that was like not a phrase that people were using yet. Like, maybe it was used later.
It would break my heart.
Yeah, my heart is a very, that's
such
true.
You know, and she's like, I never forget an insult. I know you're with Lady Whistledown. And then Penelope's like, oh, I guess you know now. Like, I was like, this scene is so unimaginative it irked me. It irked me. Beat in this book,
I agree,
irked me.
I mean, like, having her be the main villain, I felt like was lame, because she's like obviously not powerful enough making in the show the queen the one who's trying to figure her out is better villain,
that stakes.
Like, she's the queen, she's got power, she's got people who can help her. The fact that she couldn't figure it out, I mean, the queen, I feel like, could figure it out. But yes, I agree with that. I also think like she was gonna pay her off, and I'm like, why wouldn't you just pen one final missive and then be like, suck it, bitches, it was me all along, you fucking idiots. But that goes back to like, she pens that note and it gets delivered during the Bridgerton ball. And obviously, like, not a great time for it to be delivered. It was like the Bridgerton mom's birthday party. But like, she didn't do it on purpose. And he was such a dick about it.
Yeah.
Like, he did not give her the benefit of the doubt. He did not let her explain, like, hey, this was supposed to be delivered Monday. This is not my fault. This was an accident of my publisher or whatever. And like, she really doesn't, or he doesn't understand her point of view. Like, he's like, why did you have to say it? Like, you were off the hook. And she's like, can't let that bitch who's been literally my enemy since day one, has treated me so poorly, like, pulled my hair and spilled shit on my dresses and made me feel terrible every day that I saw her, take credit for my life and my talent. Like, why does he not get that? That's such a simple, like, I feel like that's the most simple thing ever.
It reeks of being in a marriage where you're never heard. Like,
yeah,
that's all I could see for her with Colin.
Yeah.
Is like being in a relationship where you're constantly having to yell for someone to understand that what you're saying is serious and important to you and anything else. And there is nothing worse. That's why I say, like, I'm so
at least
over
he
this.
Does so like at least he does. I mean, too little, too late. But at least at the end, when she says that, like, the life's work thing, he's like, oh, that's why I'm so mad. I'm jealous she has a life's work and I haven't found my purpose.
Yeah.
So, like, at least to that point, he, like, acknowledges that he tells her, I'm jealous of you, which I'm glad, because I'm glad it wasn't just in his mind and he never said it. He tells her, and then he's like, and I need your help with my writing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, again, too little, too late, but at least he, like, said it out loud and makes me feel more hopeful for their future together.
Well, like, you know, again, to your point, I really wish that had happened midway through the book. Like, that 100%. Whole scene that happened at the end.
Yeah.
I even wish she had been revealed as Lady Whistledown, if that was going to happen, in the middle of the book. Mm-hmm. So that there was something to overcome in there was no high enough stakes in this book.
Yeah.
So it felt all kind of one note. I felt like I was wading in the shallow water the whole time.
Yeah.
So, like, I wish that he had told her that, he confessed that to her midway, and then he had the ability to have redemption throughout the second half of the book.
Yes.
For him to show up for her and show out for her.
Yes.
You know, I think that would have made this book spectacular to me. But as it stands, I felt like I was reading a prologue to a story versus the actual story, you know?
Yeah. I agree. I do have hope, though, because so one scene I feel like you'll be excited about. So when
are you talking about the Netflix thing or
on the Netflix? So
I've seen
in
nothing.
This book, you know, he says something like, oh, I see your mirror over there. Like, one day I'm going to take you in front of the mirror so you can watch, or something like that. So that he said that like the first time they have sex, basically.
Yeah.
And so the whole rest of the book, I was waiting for that scene to come up, because I was like, oh, he's going to fuck her in front of a mirror. Hell yeah. This is what we call a redemption arc. This is what we call groveling. Tell her she's beautiful. She's been wearing these ugly yellow dresses. She needs someone to make her feel good about herself.
Yeah.
And they are going to do that scene in the show.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Two things. One, I'm here for that. Two. Yeah. Actually, I have three things. Two, I'm excited that they're not sticking to this book, because this ain't it.
Yeah.
Three, I do. So I wish that they hadn't stated that Colin travels because he's trying to escape, right?
Mm.
I think him traveling and being adventurous is part of his personality.
Yep.
And I wish they had just incorporated her into his adventure as well, like, because she at some point in the book is like, you know, you've been to here and there, and she's talking about his travels and stuff like that. I never where we're gonna go for our honeymoon trip, I want to go somewhere. And that was also such a great moment for them to connect over what I feel like is his interest. I didn't feel like he was running away from his family every time he was trying to leave. He's one of those people who's curious about the world, and he's a he's a middle kid. He has no responsibility, so he's allowed to be curious about the world. So, like, there was a couple lines that just made it very dismissive, that the fact that he travels and that he's, you know, very interested in other stuff. And I just was like, No. This is a moment for them to really connect as a couple and adventure together.
And she's never been anywhere. Like, let him take her on a tour of, like, the continent and see all these things that she's only read about and imagined.
Like I imagine
like, them. Fuck her near the Eiffel Tower for the love of Pete. Take her to the beaches of Greece. Like, let this woman live.
Yes, and let her write. Because, like, she's so clever with her writing, and Lady Whistledown is over, you know? And now, like, she's ready for new adventures, new things. And I wish that he was excited about her curiosities about traveling too with it. Like, there was just, there was so many points of connection that were just never plugged in together. They were just never, like, you know? And that those are the moments that are kind of frustrating. When the story ends, like, I'm like, oh, that's the end. Like, I didn't even really realize that the end was coming.
I agree with that.
So, I don't know. Yeah. This is not my favorite Bridgerton book.
And then having, like, listened to Francesca's story and then Gregory's story right after, because I never listened to theirs. Like, Francesca, you really don't, she's like the one sibling that you really don't get to know through any of the other books. She's very, very rarely there. She gets married, like, off page to her first husband. And I enjoyed her. I enjoyed her story, especially because it was different. Because, like, in all the other books, the women are, I'm pretty sure all the rest of them, the women are virgins. And, like, some of them, like, know nothing. And some of them, like, kind of know what's up. But, like, none of them have any experience. So it was nice to have Francesca's book where she's been married. She's a widow when the book starts. So when she then dates the next person, like, she's a widow. Like, she was married for years. She had a miscarriage already. She's young, but she's, like, experienced, which I thought was, like, a good change.
Yeah.
And the book that is, Eloise's book, I guess, is sort of separate from the family for the most part. But Francesca's book is also very separate from the family for the most part. And then Gregory's book, on the other hand, is very much, like, involved in the family, which I enjoyed. And
one of the things that I'm taking a little detour here.
Yeah. So
I love that the Bridgertons is on Netflix. I love that they're making the whole thing. I feel like they're doing the old bait and switch thing where season one they make kind of steamy, you know, so you feel like you're watching, like, Showtime After Dark a little bit, you know, and then once they get you hooked, every season after the fact is just, like, less and less steamy.
I was worried because also historically in feature films, the only people who get to get absolutely fucking destroyed and railed are skinny women.
Yeah.
Or very fit women. And so Penelope being the sickest of the bunch of MCs so far, I was worried that her season would be very chaste. Because of that.
Is it gonna
apparently be it's very steamy.
Okay, great. Because
apparently it is and also Kate and the Viscount from the last season are also in this season a lot and have steamy scenes in this season.
Okay, good. Because last
season they continued their relationship into this scene, you know, because he's a Viscount, so he's still very important to the family and the story and also Lady Whistledown's story and stuff. So this season apparently is very steamy, and they said, like, the first season was about passion, the second season was about longing, and this season is about the romance of it all. So
what season about the fucking
the first season passion?
I'm like, I don't want passion. Fucking which season?
Well, the first season they had the first season they were fucking a lot. I mean,
you know, but the thing about, like, so to your credit, like, out of all the body types that I want to see, fuck it, it's Penelope's. Like, there's it's curvaceous. There's stuff to grab. There seems just juicy.
Well, the visual, you know, of someone grabbing someone's flesh and their fingers, like, indenting is a beautiful visual.
Like, the visual, Daphne, okay, there's, I don't care about the grabbing of bone. Sorry, my skinny friends out there. I don't care about the grabbing of bone. When I see a visual of people doing shit. I want to see like fingers in flesh.
That also, like the, once you bump someone with jiggle, then it everything jiggles.
Everything
it makes
jiggle.
It all more visually. It makes it all more intense.
It's just so much more enjoyable and visceral.
I mean, I think it's gonna be real because they're gonna have the carriage scene. They said they're gonna have the scene in front of the mirror. I mean,
you know,
she lets him.
You know, I'm googling while you talk.
Don't Google like, while I talk. Listen, I already Googled for you.
I'm listening.
So anyway, so I think it's going to be, first of all, I think that we can both agree that this plot it's fine to throw it out and just go with some new stuff. So here's my hope. My hope is that, because you know I love like fake dating. You know I love when they have a conspiracy together. Mm-hmm. So based on the trailers and what I can ascertain, my feeling is that they're going to be, she's going to be like, why would I write back to you? You clearly don't want to marry me. You're not actually my friend. You're a piece of shit. You told all these other people that you don't want to marry me and now no one will marry me. So go fuck yourself. And he's going to be like, oh shit, I was a piece of shit. And he's going to say, okay, I'm going to help you find a man. And then they're going to have a secret together where he's helping her find a husband, and then through him teaching her how to woo, you know, how to find a husband, that's when they're going to have their little scene. I'm going to teach you how to kiss, how to do all this stuff. That's what I think is going to happen this season. And then he's going to get jealous because she's obviously going to get attention, and he's going to be like, wait, what am I doing? I should marry her.
Yeah.
And I do not know where in the season they're going to put him finding out she's Lady Whistledown, but I'm sure he will. And because he's also like 100% the character who would like follow her around, so it makes sense to me that he would see her leaving and then be like, where is she going alone, and then follow her and then find out. But my hope is that he is worried about her but not such a colossal piece of shit. That's my hope.
I agree. I would be down for that story as well.
Because the teaching, Johnny, can get so sexy.
First of all, the teaching can add that longing that you want, because it's like first, because she kisses him in the book. She's very excited to be like, hey, this is my first kiss. Can I have a kiss? You know, I like that she's the one instigating the sexualness. Yeah. And I hope that it continues to be so in the book. I would be okay with that slow buildup if it's like, they're doing kissing. They're learning about kissing. They're learning about touching. They're learning about erogenous zones. They're learning.
Apparently, like, episode 3 is quite intense. So my guess is 3 is the carriage scene that he's going to find out early in the season.
When does this come out again?
It comes out in a few weeks.
I was just like, did you?
It's like
did
two.
You see?
I think it's like 2 weeks from our recording, or three weeks from when we're recording this episode.
So wait a minute. So. You just seen previews. You haven't seen those sneak peeks?
No, I've only seen the trailer that they dropped. But I can ascertain a lot of stuff from a trailer. I will look at the clues. I will find it out. Okay?
Bridget, did you watch the Squiggly Channel when you were a kid? Like, did you try to watch Showtime on the cable box that was blocked?
No. Honestly, we literally didn't even have cable when I was growing up. We had, like, the local channels. It was, like, ABC, NBC, CBS, and that was it.
Bro, my mom
when we got
not...
TBS and I could watch Jean-Claude Van Damme on repeat on Saturdays, life-changing. Life-changing.
First of all, so I told you my mom was very strict about what we watched. So she pre-taped everything. But she used to be so mad when we would go to my Aunt Sharon's house, because my Auntie Sharon would let her kids do whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just full disclosure, my Auntie Sharon is white. She's from Kansas and this is a white lady. Okay. She married my dad's brother. Mm-hmm. And we go to her house and we would be so happy to be there because it was so lax. Mm-hmm. Like, her kids used to call her by her first name. They'd be like, Sharon. And I could feel the residual slap to my face when they would do that. I would literally leave the room because I'd be like, that is so disrespectful. I got to get the hell out of here, right? But she used to have cable. She had the cable box, that old school cable box had all of the channels, and they paid for it. They paid for it, like HBO, Showtime, whatever, all that stuff. But they locked it. They had a passcode on it. And let me tell you one thing. Determined kids can find out passcodes. That is a tale as old as time type
of thing. Also, parents always like use some variation of the kids' birthdays or the dog's name.
Every single time. But like, like, I remember when we were there, you could put on Showtime and it'd be late at night and you knew that it was like porn, but it was squiggly, you know? So the movie would be squiggly, everything, and you'd be trying to watch the squiggly channel.
We never did that.
And we were doing this as a unit. It wasn't just like one of us. It was like 10 of us trying to figure that out.
Shawnee, but tell me how many of your cousins from that family are kinky? Probably none of them.
All of them, from her, from my auntie Sharon, all of them are freaks. Are they? Okay. They're 100%.
I was gonna say, a lot of times, like, you're just not, because you're just like, yeah, whatever. Like, no, there's no forbidden fruit, and so you're like,
no. Yeah. They were having sex at like 12, 11, and 12.
Oh,
they were
gross.
They were super fast. And then, like, even that middle cousin, when I became polyamorous, she was the one who like coached me into it. She also told me, she's like, Shawnee, you don't want a bunch of boyfriends. She's like, you need one boyfriend who has a boyfriend. And that's the perfect mm-hmm. relationship.
So I told Leo, I said, my ideal, if we were ever in some sort of metamore, you know, polyamorous situation.
Yeah.
I was like, my ideal situation would be to have, I would get to have another boyfriend or husband, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the thing. Sure. And then I don't care who the other woman is, if she's that person's wife or girlfriend or my husband's girlfriend, or just as like someone who likes to be part of our family unit, they're asexual. I don't care. They fit in however they want to fit in. And then we just get to all like hang out. I'm such a social, like, I'm not a social person who likes to like go out into like I want to go to Coachella and be around 10,000 people.
Never.
Not really. But I love being around like 5 or 6 people all the time. Like having the option, certainly. And
I'll
I feel
be
like
there for you.
Yeah, exactly. But my kids are like so little. I think it'll be better when they're slightly older, because they go to bed so early and they can't watch any like fun shows and stuff with me yet. So I think when they're like slightly older, it'll be like that community feeling will feel more, you know, because they'll be like 12 and 10 and 12 or whatever. And I can mm-hmm. be like, guys, like the new season of Bridgerton's coming out, or like the new season of whatever TV show, and that'll be our little TV show, and we'll like hang out and do that. But then they go to bed at like 7, so it's like, it's more fun when there's more people. So I'm like, maybe I should just get another couple to like move into our guest room. They'd have their own bathroom. Then we don't even have to date them. They could just like be our friend.
Listen, I'm with you.
Share the burden of the mortgage, share the burden of the parenting, share the burden of the cooking.
Listen, I agree. Cause you know, I love Sister Wives. I watched that show religiously just because I was fascinated with the idea of the women running, like organizing everybody together as unit. Nobody gives a shit about that dude.
I never watched the show, but
well, I've been watching the downfall of the first wife left, now then two more leave, and now he's monogamous.
Literally, one wife. Are you talking about Big Love? Wait, is this a real couple or is this the TV show?
Sister Wives, the show.
I thought you were talking about the show Big Love, which is the guy has three wives, and the show is very much about their dynamics. I think I never watched it, but
that's basically based off of like the same, but like I love the idea of Sister Wives. I love hanging out with women because a lot of times that shit is effortless. Like I don't have to, you know, it's like if I'm changing a diaper, I don't have to ask somebody to hand me wipes. Somebody would just do it. It would just happen, you know. Or stuff is pre-prepped or pre-planned or whatever. Like that, when I'm with my sisters or my like girl cousins, like no problems. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I really love that dynamic. So for me, I don't want anybody in my house, but I could easily live in like a communal setting where everybody has, like if there were like a bunch of cabins.
Yeah, everybody has their own little cabin in their house.
And we had like a joint garden and like, you know, that's something I could easily do. And I like other people's kids, and I like hanging with other people's kids and taking care of other people's kids. I don't want those kids to be mine, but like I very much, I've told you this before, I very much like the idea of being an auxiliary parent to somebody else's
That's
kids.
Why you guys, full disclosure, I've been trying to get Shawnee to move down the street for me since I moved here. I keep sending her listings like, you could live in this house. It's so cheap. It's like $300,000, which for Shawnee in LA would buy her nothing. And here is going to get her a 4-bedroom house Yes. With a nice little garden.
Bridget, and a garage. Bridget, there's some condos across the street, which is like, that's perfect for your shopping.
They're $150,000. Two bedrooms, two baths. So cheap.
That is actually so fucking cheap.
So cheap.
But anyway, like, it's one of those things I kind of miss it. Like, I'm full into, like, kind of what I want to do in life right now with like, music stuff, romance at a glance stuff. So I'm, like, super focused on that. So I have so much less kid time. Mm-hmm. And when you lived here, I really loved it because when I went to your house, I'm like, yeah, this is my kid time. Yeah. And I'd teach Bridget's kids slightly inappropriate things, or I would teach them black phrases to say. Because why not?
Yeah, I think it's great. I'll snatch you. My kids still say that.
I will.
My kids are so sassy though, Shawnee. I'll be like, I will throw you in the trash. I will throw you in the trash, Mom. I will fight you. And they're like, you want to go? I'm like, oh my God, I'm so proud.
I'm like,
know that this is only appropriate at home. This is not appropriate with other people. They won't understand.
Dear Romance Besties, if you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/romanceataglance to check out our awesome perks, including stickers, watching movies with us, and you can even be on the show.
Can't be a patron? You can still support the show by purchasing books or things we recommend through our affiliate links on our show notes and our dope-ass website.
Thanks for the commish.
Or you can leave a review for the show on Apple Podcasts.
Screenshot your review, send it to us on Instagram, and we'll send you some stickers.
Now, Bridge, let's get back to the ratings.
Yes. Okay, everybody, it's time for our ratings. All right, what would you give our fair hero, Colin?
I didn't like Colin. I'm not gonna lie. I'll give him a two. I'll give him a two because I don't want to give him a one.
I would give Colin a two as well. I think that, you know, to our earlier points, like if we moved everything earlier so there wasn't such a long period of the book that he was acting like an idiot and only was like an idiot for like a couple chapters.
Yeah.
I think he would be a three or four potentially, but yeah, I think a two, maybe three, but I was very upset. I think a two.
How about
Penelope?
I liked Penelope. I liked that she fought for her. So I'm going to give her a four because I mean, I wish it was like, some points I wish she popped them in the mouth, but
yeah,
you know,
but
I'll give her a four and I'll just say, Julia, you know, write them, you know, rewrite that book.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, I'm going to give her a four too. The funny thing is then I went on to read Francesca's book and the rest of the books and he's like so devoted to her and in love with her and like treats her right for all the rest of the books. I'm like, why wasn't he like this in this book? Because it's bullshit. But like you said, like if they'd moved it earlier, then we would have gotten to see that in this book as opposed to seeing it later.
Yeah, but to your point, I think she was trying to create a conflict for a guy she already put as a nice guy. And she was trying to make it.
But they could have just had an external conflict. You know, I love an external conflict as opposed to an internal conflict.
Like he could have got lost in the Amazon. She had like.
No, I mean, their external conflict could have been that they were working together to figure out how to protect her from exposure. As opposed to him being against her and like, you be silent and shut up and I don't care what you think, I'm going to deal with this. He could have been doing it with her and working with her. Even the grand finale reveal he did on his own.
Yeah.
She didn't even know it was happening.
Which I kind of wanted her to know it was happening.
And she doesn't like attention. And then he was like making out with her in front of everyone. And I was like, rude.
Yeah. I actually didn't like the grand reveal at the end. I didn't like how that happened either, but that's it.
I would say this whole book for me was a two. It was definitely my least favorite of the series, of which all of the rest of them are threes or fours for me. So,
I agree with all that.
Yeah. But I am excited for the show. I'm excited to do a recap with you. So if you guys are going to watch the show, we are going to watch, it's broken up into two parts. So we're going to watch the first couple episodes, do an episode, and then we will, when the next part comes out, watch the next couple episodes and do an episode about it. And we'll do a little comparing and contrasting in like terms of like the plot of not just this book, but you know, they're borrowing parts of the other books as well when they make the seasons. So we'll do a little comparing and contrasting, of course, give you our reactions to all of the down and dirty parts and which parts we thought should have been dirtier and just generally like plot pacing, you know, us, all the good stuff. So it should be a good time.
It's going to be a good time. All right, Bridget.
Until next time, may your books be your lover.
And your hand, your best friend.
Thanks for hanging in with us, romance readers. Head over to Instagram to continue chatting with us. We're super friendly. We want to cackle with you. We want to know what your favorite sex scene was. And we need more book recommendations. If you want to read along with us, go to our website, romanceataglance.com, to see what we're reading next. and we'll see you next podcast.